Hey guys, I'm Brad.
I'm Lisa.
And welcome to Unrelenting Pursuit.
We just want to invite you guys into real, unedited conversations about real life topics that affect your marriage.
Yeah, guys, we are passionate about training and equipping marriages to succeed through God.
What's up, guys? So excited to be back with you guys for part two of our whole revealing what Brad does on the daily and now diving into some.
I feel like you're super unsure about what's going on.
Because I'm just trying to say our topic for today in a semi-vague way. Well, we are going to start off today, as we do every single time, with a review from one of you. Once again, just super grateful for those of you who have taken the time to do this. It helps other people find us, and it really encourages us, which is also just, we're very, very thankful for those of you that take the time to write your stories and the hope that you found and your relationship with God. It's just, it's really, really cool thing. This one is from Lunsford. It says, Best Marriage Podcast. I found this podcast mid-June and have quickly caught all the way up. I love this couple's connection and openness with one another and in the podcast. While my husband and I do have a similar story, we were well into our recovery before finding this podcast. I was really just looking for tips and tricks to become a better wife, and what I found was so much more. Since starting listening to this, my husband and I have created a much deeper bond that is firm in the Lord, with a daily Bible study with just the two of us and a weekly time set aside for connection. All in all, this is an amazing podcast for all married couples. Which, thank you for sharing that. We appreciate it so much. Love that you guys were well into recovery and have even found things just.
Yeah.
And obviously this couple's pursuing intentionality in the relationship, which I think is important for every single married couple. So. Yep.
Absolutely.
To dive into today. Go ahead, baby. Well, it's all on you now.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. You said I was unsure. So now it's all on you.
I heard our last episode was too serious, or not too serious. Was
Let's
very
talk
serious.
About how you hear everything through a critical tone.
That's another episode.
That's another. We've
already
episode.
Done. We've already.
It's
done
like you can't that. say anything, and then Brad's like, "Oh, well, it was awful. Like it's clearly a horrible thing."
No, I didn't say that.
You don't say it, but what do you think?
Yeah. Mm. maybe not.
Yeah, well, it was a more serious topic.
Yeah. No, we're going to get a part two, just kind of like of this isn't storytelling time. That's not what part two is about.
Is that what typically
not,
our episodes
We're not
are?
Going to like, I have tons of stories, funny and everything, but that's not what we're getting into. So we're going to get into just ways to help this type of marriage.
Yeah, really. Practical steps.
And I think that I think we're specifically focused on law enforcement, you know, and I think this can go further than that, of course.
Yeah.
You know,
first responder world definitely has some specific, I would say, challenges when it comes to marriage. Mm-hmm. But this is every single one of the things that we're going to talk about today will absolutely benefit your marriage, no matter what career that you guys have. So don't tune out if you aren't a first responder or first responder spouse. Like, these are things that every marriage should definitely.
It'll help. I mean, the articles I was reading and some of the stuff that, you know, we've done and, you know, do and all those things, I think, well, clearly can help every marriage, because this is what episode what? And we haven't talked about my job once.
Right. And people know, I think, after listening to us that you're in that realm, but we just have never specifically gotten into what it is that you're doing. And we want to pay attention to it, because I do think that the first responder world does have that very, very specific set of challenges.
And if you're not in there, maybe you just stay tuned to see how like crazy my brain is.
Or that, sure.
Yeah, I'm wired. <up. laughs> I'm wired super weird, I think, so.
We go to a movie yesterday, and my husband forgot his phones at home, and one of them is a work phone. Mm-hmm. And then he's just like, I have to have them, like, just in case something goes down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for those in this room, like, so... It's kind of the whole thing of like, if you get something new and then you're stepping off to do something, it's like something's going to happen. That's always been a joke we've done. Just always something we've said. So like if you get a new piece of kit and you're just putting it on and then all of a sudden you're like having to go do something. It's like, oh man, this isn't, you know, like it's like,
you haven't had time to train with it.
Yeah. And it's probably a little superstitious, seriously, you know, but it's just a funny joke that we do. Mm. It's just like kind of like bad juju. You know, like, oh, right, someone that's a theologian, don't hit me on that. Like, I don't know if I just said anything that was, like, anti-everything.
We don't believe in that, guys. Exactly. Just relax.
But yeah, so, like, I had left. Sometimes I do leave one phone behind just because I'm like, I mean, usually the very important things come on my personal phone because we just have, like, the way we do that, whatever. So but then it's just weird because it's like I forgot both phones. And in my head, I'm like, if something happens, it's going to happen right now because I don't have like a way to, you know, turn the bat signal on. Right. Oh, like Lord. there was no way to do that. So I was like, come bring my phones to the movie theater. It was fine. We have kids that drive. So it's like, what are you doing?
It's like mirror into Brad's brain. But yeah, I mean, I don't operate that way, so it's definitely not something that is easy for me to understand. Mm. But I think that is, and kind of jumping around a little bit from the original points, but I think that is a big thing, is to have empathy for the fact that both of your guys' brains are operating so differently.
Yeah, and then I would even say you need to learn your spouse's thought process and what's going on through their brains.
Even if you don't understand it.
Even if you don't understand it, for sure. And I understand what I can with the way you think.
Wow,
you know?
Brad. Well, I try, but it's a lot.
Well, no. I mean, it is, right? I mean, yes, I know your core. Yes. And I know what you think, and I could pretty much tell you, like, this is what you're thinking right now and all that, you know, at times, right? But also, your brain never stops, right? But I'll put this in perspective. The way your brain never stops when you're thinking about all these checklists and all this thing, you know, this just this constant, right? That's how my brain is when I'm out with you and the kids.
Yeah.
So my brain does not stop.
Yeah.
I want it to stop, mm-hmm. but it doesn't stop. When I'm by myself, it stops a little bit because I'm like, you know, I don't have five other people that I absolutely need to grab and put under.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think, you know, it's helped that we have that understanding of kind of, like I said, we don't have to understand necessarily how your brain works, but we have an understanding of what your overall, I would say, goal is, right? Is this protection? Because it can come off as being tense in certain scenarios, right?
There's times where I try so hard not to be tense. But I end up getting tense, not because I'm paranoid. Like that's something else that you have to understand. Like I'm the furthest from paranoid. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Like I'm not paranoid. I don't think that, you know, something is going to happen that's bad at every corner or where, like I think things like that can happen because you see it, but I'm not paranoid. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. Being paranoid breeds being paranoid breeds fear and chaos, and that's not what this life is about as a whole. That's not what this life is about as like the field I picked or was chosen, I feel, for me to get in, right? Mm-hmm. That's not what that life's about control and, you know, almost control. And I would almost say like predictable chaos. And I know that doesn't make sense, but it does make sense. And adaptability to whatever's happening. Mm-hmm. So I don't view it as chaotic in that sense. I just view it as like, adapting and moving. So it's not paranoia, mm-hmm. right? It's being aware, and you can call it whatever you want, like listening to this, but I guarantee you I'm not paranoid. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not. There's times where I'm very like safe, right? Or feel very safe. And then there's times where I don't, and it's not paranoid, it's experience and what I know and where I've been and what I've done and all those things. And there's times where you don't, I say I don't feel safe, but I'm not scared. Mm-hmm. Right. If that, like, even when you guys were around, like, prepared. I'm not necessarily like, you know, you want to go. So Lisa always loves taking pictures like in the most random spots. Right. And so we live in El Paso. So we go like downtown, but not downtown proper, like downtown, like outskirts of downtown. So it's like a little dilapidated area, some abandoned warehouses, graffiti all over the place, which looked super cool, by the way. Like I'm not,
yeah,
I know graffiti is against the law, but it looked super cool. Right. But we're not in a good area. So the whole time I was there, I didn't feel safe in the sense of like, oh, I could just, you know, smile during the picture. Like the whole time my head was like,
pivot.
Yeah. Just looking around, just making sure everything was good. And I can't turn that off.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a long explanation to like helping a spouse understand their spouse, whether it's a woman or a man in this line of work that has truly been called to this line of work. You know, mm-hmm. it's something that you can't turn it off.
It's part of who you are. And also in that aspect of, like you said, almost preparing, how did you word it? The not prepared chaos. What was it? I don't remember what you said.
Predictable
chaos. Yeah. And also on this side of things, like it can allow me to have like almost that element of, okay, well, I know you've got that covered. Like I don't actually worry about it at all.
No.
Because I expect you to have that realm covered, you know? And so in a way that relieves me from having to take that on. I mean, which sounds funny, but there's been times in my life where I've had to, when you haven't been around, and it is stressful. Like I do feel like it's stressful. Of course, I don't have the level of preparedness that you do. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole other element, right? But anyways, I think having empathy for the fact that
absolutely
you can know your spouse and step into and or lean into them without having to have full understanding of how mm-hmm. their brain operates. And also it's like little things, like I could have tried to rationalize with you, you know, a ton yesterday and been like, honey, it's fine. Like it's not a big deal. Nothing's going to happen. Or it can just be like, oh yeah, cool. We'll get the phones here.
Yeah.
Like not a big deal.
Well, I mean, let me rewind all that. Like I wasn't stressed out. No, like it wasn't
I'm just
something
trying to
that
give
I was
a specific scenario.
Oh no, I know. But also like, I'm trying to like help people understand like this, it's not something that's urgent, right? It wasn't like, I know this is a specific situation, but it wasn't urgent. I wasn't stressing out about it. I was just like, man, I need the phones.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it was not that even I'm addicted to my phones at all. It's just, I was just like, this would be the time, right? This could be the time that something happens where I'm at. And then I have to like, I don't know phone numbers. Like who knows phone numbers? Right.
I know yours.
Phone number.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like other than that, it's a button on my phone, mm-hmm. right? And so that button on my phone, like to get my buds down, right? Like my dudes, mm-hmm. and I don't have it, or vice versa. Something else goes down, and I'm close, and it's like, and they're ringing me to, you know, where you at? Like, what's up? I need help, right? And it's happened. It's happened before. It's happened just a few blocks from our house. Mm-hmm. Where I was going to check something out, just randomly heard through a grapevine, and all of a sudden everything's going down, and I hit my button on my phone. I'm like, homie, like this is what's happening. And he's like, I'm on my way, you know? And so it's like, you know, but so I wasn't stressed out, because if something, say something did happen, I'd been fine.
And I don't think it was, I'm just trying to give that aspect of like from a spouse's perspective, like you can choose to just like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. We're gonna do that, and or try to,
instead of like, don't be ridiculous.
Yeah,
enjoy
like don't
the
be
movie.
Condescending about the way that your spouse is operating and mm-hmm. the way that their brain operates. Yeah. And I think that can be a space that happens a lot, where when we don't have full understanding, on both sides of that, you can get condescending. And, you know, when you're condescending to your spouse, like belittling, it hinders every aspect of your relationship.
Well, yeah, I mean, just flip it. Like, not that situation, but flip the whole thing, exactly, what we're talking about. And as a husband, I don't, like we laughed about it earlier, but I don't understand a lot of things that you bring up or when you're talking to me about something and I'm trying to, you know, I'm sitting there thinking and I'm not waiting to respond. I'm thinking of like, what, where's this going? Right? Like how, like what trail are we running on? And the one, does she need,
side note, really quickly, we did find out that Rabbit Trail, for those of you who have been listening for quite some time, and Brad has made fun of me for when I say I'm going down the rabbit trail.
Yeah.
And I guess we find out it's an actual saying, guys. You're welcome.
It's a thing. Yep. It's a thing.
It's not just rabbit hole, guys.
I almost thought it wasn't a thing. Even when it was said, I was like,
just made this mistake.
Nope, it's a thing. But I'm trying to track what you're saying, or I understand what you're saying, but I don't fully grasp it, you know? And it's not that I'm not listening. It's not that I'm not asking questions. It's that like, sometimes I don't get it, but I'm not going to sit there and go, forget about it. Or, you know, what's the famous, like, calm down or whatever, right? Like, I'm not going to say those things. I'm going to empathize with what you're saying and try to understand even more and help if needed. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's just listen to me right now.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a tip for any marriage right there. Yeah. Sometimes you just need to listen. But I think it is really important, that piece of the puzzle is when you have the ability to just kind of make peace with the situations, like, why not take it? You know, instead of trying to make somebody always come to,
I think that almost gets into one of the tips that we got from some friends of ours about this. And it talked about like arguing to get that, if you can go to it, because I don't have my phone, chasing the high.
Yeah.
But also that led into, potentially leads into like starting arguments with your spouse to have that, what comes next, like what's coming next kind of mentality.
Yeah. Right?
If you can,
this is a friend of ours who's a counselor who works with a lot of first responders. And she just mentioned even some of them are, some first responders are coming home and really just causing chaos even when they come home by fighting just to keep the adrenaline and expectation of what might happen next going, you know, like it just becomes so much a part of who you are that you're.
Yeah. My everywhere. Initial, so I'm going to give you my initial, what is it like on Instagram? Like my reaction?
Yeah. Or whatever. Go for it.
So my initial reaction when I first read that, and even now, is that I feel that that's a very, I'm just going to say it, whatever. I was like, should I say this? Because I might be stepping on toes. But I feel that that's a very immature man. Right? I really do. Or woman.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, it's both. But, you know, I just feel that that's a very immature person in that realm of that career that comes home to continue that adrenaline rush. I really do. I don't, like, I'm trying to look at my specific, you know, time, right? Even before being on the team, you know, I was busy as a regular brokerage agent doing like what I signed up to do, right? Versus now it's a little bit different. I was busy when I was doing that stuff. And so it was a lot of like a great work. And yeah, it was adrenaline, but it wasn't, I was never chasing adrenaline. I was chasing the right? Like, this is my job. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Let me ask this, because I think most people, when chasing adrenaline, are not acknowledging it's adrenaline they're chasing. I think it can be masked as other things.
Well, okay. Well, let me push back on that. Okay. Right? Like, I'm thinking of a specific instance. So there would be, well, more than one that this happened. But a border, so here's the difference. There's plenty of differences, but here's a big difference between a border patrol agent and a sheriff or a police officer. This is my experience, right? A sheriff and or police officer, they will 95% of the time wait for backup, right? As a Border Patrol agent, when I got in 2003, one, there wasn't as many of us as there is now, right? And two, you're like, once you got trained and you were on your own, yes, there was, well, where I was at, there was backup, like partners within a responding distance. But some areas of the country that got these guys work, there's nobody for hours. They're by themselves. So you learn to do things by yourself. Not that you don't want people with you, but you learn to do things by yourself. So now getting back to like the instances that I'd see. So you'd hear a sheriff call out that, you know, they pulled over a vehicle and everyone jumped out and ran away and ran through like a, let's say a sugarcane field, right? Like, or sort, you know, it's just these big, I mean, imagine sugarcane or like wherever you're from. So imagine big corn stalk fields, right? Just, but cluttered sugarcane. It's like very, you know, hard. And there, it wasn't necessarily like a farmer that put that in. It was like natural. So it's very like congested in there and you're running, you know, they're running through it. They didn't chase them. They called Border Patrol, right? So I was the first one to show up. And this happened multiple times. So there's times I wasn't the first one to show up, but I was the first one to show up. You jump out. I look at, hey, what happened? Oh, this is what happened. I'm like, which way did they go? And he's like, that way. And I took off because I wasn't chasing adrenaline. It was like, what happened? This is what happened. Okay. I know what happened now. Now I need to go get him, right? I need to go do my job.
Yeah.
Right. There was other guys coming, but I wasn't waiting for them to get there because these dudes are running. So right. I took off after them. Now, as the other guys get there, now you're like, oh, you start coordinating, right? Command and control. Oh, I need you over here. Do this, blah, blah, blah. But you're running through a field like that at night. Like I think back, right? I didn't think about this at the time because you don't, right? But I think back on it. And you're running through this field at night. You could see maybe a foot in front of you because the foliage or what, you know, the stocks and, you know, just the field, right? And I'm like, really? If someone wanted just to do whatever, they could have like stepped off and just waited for me to come up, right? That, I mean, could have happened not just to me, multiple times on throughout my years of doing this, right?
Right.
And, but that's in the back of your mind, but it's not so far that you're like, I'm not going to do anything. So to me, I wasn't chasing adrenaline. I was just, that was my job.
But don't you think that, yes, I totally agree with you. What I think happens, or you can correct me if I'm wrong, is, right, you're doing your job, you're doing your job, you're doing your job. And in that process, you have those natural adrenaline spikes. Mm-hmm. And that's just part of it. Because yeah, your body inevitable. Needs it yeah. to be able to do what you mm-hmm. have to do.
Yeah.
And so it's not that you're necessarily, I don't think most people go out specifically saying, I'm seeking this. But when it becomes such a part of your nature, right? Because you're repeatedly put in these situations over mm-hmm. and over and over again that require it. I think that's when it can become where you really become addicted to it. Not even necessarily thinking that that's what I'm doing. It's almost under the guise of like, but well, that's my job or that's what I'm just have to do. Like it's, but it's still like you're placed in those. I know, but I think this is a thing that most people that are in the first responder world navigate. So even.
No, I know. But what I'm trying to say is I'm not saying the adrenaline's not there.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying on top of that adrenaline, there's not the rush of like doing a good job, you know, getting hands on, you know, all these things like they're absolutely like I would do it today. Mm-hmm. Right. Like in that specific instance. Right. You know, like, yes, absolutely. But, and yes, it was those instances and along with so many others were all are always like presented.
Yeah.
Are always there, but it wasn't. Yes. Addiction to that for sure. But I was never chasing that. So like the opposite of that is not responding or halfway responding, which is not responding, not doing your job, not, you know, like that's the opposite of that. So there's really no, in my mind, there's no choice. Now, there are people that do, you know, do not do those things.
Yeah.
And they're in that world, right? But in my mind, there's no choice. It's like, yeah, even if you're thrust into it, it's like, well, no, this is what I, one, signed up to do, two, would train to do, three, this is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, this is your job. This is why you're doing your job, right? So why I say that I feel that there's a little immaturity when you bring that home, because the other part of what she had said was they even want their spouse to start getting into more dangerous hobbies with them, right? And I think back, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't feel that I brought any of that adrenaline junkie rush home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that you ever overtly brought that home. You know, definitely we eventually experienced consequences of it, but not when things were like our normal marriage. That was when you were
think that, you know, and you know, there's no, I don't have like a why, right? Like people so often ask me, you know, well, why'd you do this? And I can't pinpoint back. Yeah. Could I pinpoint back to some of it? Maybe was that adrenaline thing, but I think most of it was, and I mean, to be honest, most of it was, I look at myself differently than what people look at me as. And I was getting attention that I didn't think that I'd ever get.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I want it. Well, now, but you know what I mean? Like I was getting fed what I was weak at.
Those insecurities are being fed.
Yeah. And
along
so,
with pride, right? And you always talk about that.
Yeah. And so like to me, yes, was there adrenaline attached to that? Well, yeah. Anytime you do something that's even not right,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, there's adrenaline attached to that. Like there is this weird, you know, everyone's done it, right? Yeah. Like whether you steal a pack of gum from a grocery store
and you get like, away with it.
Yeah.
You,
whatever it is, like there is that piece that is that adrenaline. But I think mine was deeper than that. And I think a lot of them are, but what I'm saying specifically with that is if the guys are coming home and they're pushing this, you know, either like we need to do, you know, I can't even think of a dangerous
jump out
hobby.
Of planes.
Yeah. We need to jump out of planes, you know, and your wife would never
normally
even
do
that, right? Yeah. Never have the inkling or want or desire, like doesn't even like roller coasters, and you're coming home and pushing that on her. Like,
are you talking about me?
That's not right. You know, that's not right. Like, even if I start doing that, like, I'm not going to come home and be like, babe, you know what? You should do this. You know, like, no. If you want to do that, great. If not, I don't care.
Right.
You know, but to push that on your spouse to step out, you're not pushing them to step out of your comfort zone. You're pushing them into danger.
Mm.
And there's a big difference in that, right? Like I want to push you and I want you to push me out of my comfort zone. Like that is part of marriage growth. But if I'm insisting you do something dangerous and you're not willing to, then the part of you that the safety part can, like, just it's if someone doesn't want to do something that's dangerous and they do it, they could get hurt very easily.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's like, why would you want to pull your spouse into that? Yeah. And that's why I'm getting at where I feel like you need to grow as a person. Right. But and not bring that home, you know, and I get like I'm fighting it right now. Like I understand what they're saying, but I think I grew up with I grew up with a great role model in my dad. Like there was stuff I found out that he did way after. Like I think once I already had a badge, right? That I found out he did that I never knew he did when mm-hmm. I was little.
Yeah.
He didn't come home like wanting to go do something crazy, like or yelling and arguing at my mom or anything like that. Like he came home to be a father.
Right.
Like, or to be a husband, right? If you don't have kids, come home to be a husband. Like that to me is like such a draw, right? Like I don't want to bring work home. I want to come home, and this is like my sanctuary, right? And I get to be with my family, and I get to even, and I've talked about this, so who knows how many episodes ago, but even not only do I get to be with my family, like the time that I'm with my family is so much like more sweet to me because of the potentiality of what could happen when you step out the door. Mm. Right. And so it's like, this time is like, I want this. I want a strong marriage. I want a marriage that challenges each other. I want kids that are safe to be around me, like that feel safe and comfortable and want to share with me, mm-hmm. and also get challenged by us, but in a loving environment that just breeds growth.
Yeah.
Instead of coming home and like wanting to argue to see what happens next. I just have a hard time with that.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think there's the realization that, yeah, we don't have to fully understand it, but a lot of people deal with it, especially when you're not having that faith piece of the puzzle. And I think that is really even what you saw modeled growing up was someone who did recognize the things of greatest importance, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you allow the job to be greater than God, when you allow the job to be greater than your family, when your wife feels that you would choose work over her every time, or your wife feels that, you know, vice versa, husband feels like the wife will always choose the job over him. Mm-hmm. Like those are things that are going to create a wedge that continues to grow. And that's when you do start getting into so many of the aspects of, oh, okay, well, this person over here really seems to understand me. Oh, this person's not going to make too much real life for me. You know, there's too many stressors going on in my life over here at my job. So then you come home and expect there to be no stressors. Yeah. Like those are things that tear families apart. And specifically in the first responder world, because of the fact that you guys navigate so much stress that we typically, our bodies are not equipped to handle so much, you know?
Yeah, I just think that like, so I think what's happened too often, and hopefully it changes, and I don't know how to change it, right? But no one talks about that, right? So like, if you talk about that and you're open about that, and I shared this, I think on the last episode, right? You talk about that, you're open about that, then it becomes normal. And then you understand that, oh, this is what my body's going through. These are the stressors that I don't even realize are stressors, mm-hmm. that this is where I'm at. And yes, that, you know, adrenaline and all these things, but even as a police officer or whatever, you should be trained that at 1 minute, you can be very calm and professional and chill. Next minute, you could be fighting for your life. Like I'm talking about within seconds, right? Mm-hmm. Could be fighting for your life. Then when it's under control, guess what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to go all the way back down to calm, mm-hmm. and be able to make rational decisions through that whole process, right? So why can't you take that aspect and add it to your life outside of the career, right? Mm. Where it's like,
that's true. Yeah.
I don't need to be up here because of my adrenaline rush or because of all the problems I have at work and all the things I saw today. Like, I don't need to be up here.
Yeah.
When I come home, I need to be here. This is me. This is, mm-hmm. I'm the father. I'm a husband. This is what God's called me to do. I'm not giving my wife and kids my leftovers. I'm not doing these things. Am I tired? Absolutely, I'm tired. But guess what? Suck it up.
Well, that was like one of the things that I had in our notes, was that dying to self side of things for both people. Like, you know, we talked about giving some practical steps. Like, how do you do this? The dying to self thing, right, is this aspect of saying like, well, I feel like I want to come home and check out.
Yeah.
Right. But recognizing that that's not your role, and mm-hmm. and we all have these different roles in life to play. And even on the side of a spouse that is at home and navigating that world, it's like I have to also allow my spouse to come in and even maybe have those 15 mm-hmm. minutes of decompressed time, right?
Yeah.
Maybe even have those moments that you're saying like, okay, like I recognize that this is helpful for you to mm-hmm. enter into the home space if you've had 15 minutes to yourself. Like,
yeah,
we need to find
and,
ways.
And that's definitely healthy. I just feel like, well, what was your drive home? Is that not time to like...
Yeah, I mean, it would depend on where someone is and, you know, how stressful traffic is and how, you know, like, there's a lot of things. I just think people can meet each other and help each other mm-hmm. to handle the...
Yeah, absolutely.
...home life in a yep. better way.
So there was some other... So I wrote down some tips that I wanted to go over with you, and it's from the article, the second article you mm-hmm. sent me.
Okay.
Not the one I liked.
Yeah.
The other one. And I just want people, because we just Googled.
Yeah. Right?
And so, like, if you're listening to this, you're like, I want to Google some tips. Well, I want to go over these because there's some I did not agree with for
right.
tips for her. And it is, okay, in this aspect, the article is written towards him as he's in this career and her as, you know,
a support.
The support system, right? I'm not saying they don't work. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not what the... But some of what they said for tips for her. So I'm throwing this out there as I don't agree with them, but I want you to throw it back at me. Like, well, okay. You're like, well, maybe I do agree with that, you know? Because I'm not in your head. I don't know what's in your head. So we already talked about give him space when he needs it. I semi-agree with that. I semi-don't. Because just like I said a minute ago, like when you come home, right, and you walk through that door, if that little kid
yeah.
is running towards you and just ecstatic to see you, that's what you need.
Mm.
You don't need space. Like I'm being very honest. Like you do not need space because there's one day that kid isn't going to run to you anymore.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be busy. Not because they don't love you. They're going to be busy. Right. And so like for that excited kid or say you don't have kids and your wife is just excited to be back with you and you walk through the door and it's like she's like, you know, coming to you and hugging you and waiting for you like in excitement. And you're like, I need space. I think that's wrong.
Mm.
I think it's like, no, you don't need space. What you need is to suck it up right now.
Yeah,
like you
step
need to,
into their space.
You need to suck it up right now, and you need to step into what's going on right now.
Yeah.
And you know what? When you go take a shower, maybe that's your quiet time,
mm-hmm.
right? When you get, you know, to go change and whatever you're going to do, maybe that's your quiet. But, like, to you know, I just picture in my head, like, I need 15 minutes, you know, and the kid, like, goes back to sit down and waits, you know, for his dad to be ready for him,
yeah.
you know, or his wife, you know, and it's just like... I think that's wrong. I think you're stealing time.
Well, you're also right? sending messages. And I think people need to realize that so many of the messages that we send are never said.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you are the spouse that's walking in the door, and I mean, we're all guilty of this in some way, shape, or form, right? But what you prioritize first mm-hmm. sends a message.
Yep.
Of what you really value. And so it is important when you're stepping into the space of like, okay, your kids and your spouse, if you are walking in and saying like, okay, well, not yet, like me first, mm-hmm. and then I'll get to you.
Yeah.
It is sending messages. Now, I do agree with you though. Decompression time is important, obviously, but how you do it, how you pivot, how you are resilient mm-hmm. with that and when you have it, that can be adjusted and people do need to realize
it can.
That.
And listen, so that tip, I don't agree with the way it was said or written. What I would say is you guys need to talk about this as a family and figure it out.
Right.
Or you need to figure it out, like you need to talk to yourself and be like, maybe this decompression is me sitting down with my kid.
Mm-hmm.
Is me
reframing what
is me
like.
Spending that initial moments when I walk in the house with my wife before I go get all cleaned up and whatever the next thing is, right? Maybe that is my decompression time. And you can tell your spouse, I might not be super talkative right now.
Yeah.
Right. Just because I've had kind of a, you know, I've talked out.
It's been intense.
Right. It's been a day, but that doesn't mean
There are times that Brad has told me in conversation, literally where it's like, I'll ask a question. He's like, I don't have the words for that right now. Just like, or I'm like, yeah. Or like you just are basically like, I'm literally done talking. Mm. Like it's too much for me to explain.
Yeah. It wasn't, I didn't say it mean.
No, but it's meant to be just like, yeah. Not that I don't want to talk with you about it, but at this moment, yep. I don't have the capacity to really go over all the necessary details. And then we chuckle about it. And I do think that's a really big thing to remember. It's like humor here is so key. And because I feel like people go to two different reactions. It's it's like humor or anger, right?
Yeah.
And then if you naturally gravitate towards anger.
There's pride in that. So I'll say this with all this, you should not be taking yourself so seriously. Like with all of this. Like this realm, let's go specifically with what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You're a cop. You're in my world, whatever. You should not take yourself so seriously at all. Like I get to be surrounded by the best guys, the best dudes. I mean, the best trained, the best thinkers. Like I am surrounded by these dudes day in and day out, and it's an amazing place to be. And we get connected with other units that are like that, and it's an amazing place to be. But when you're around those dudes, there's the serious time, but all those guys can laugh at themselves. And we all understand that.
And it's huge. It's a huge...
Yeah, we don't take ourselves...
Or think you're that important.
Yeah. I mean, I could leave tomorrow and would there be a hiccup? Yeah. And after that, guess what? The train's still moving. Right. So I would say that like a side note, like you need to laugh more for sure. So one of the other things is one of them was send him off with cookies.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. And
I was
that.
Like,
it like brought back the whole like 1950s vibe of
wait, honey. And then here's a plate of cookies. Take to the now, boys.
Do I send you off with some sourdough sometimes? 100%. For sure.
This happens every now and then. Yeah. Like I'll bring a couple of loaves of sourdough, or like one of the dudes, his wife made sourdough cookies and brought them. And like, he just set them on the table. And of course they're gone. Right. But, yes. And what I'm getting at is I just don't feel like this is a tip for her. I don't feel like if you're in this realm and your marriage is straining and struggling because of this is what career you're in, your husband's in or your wife's in, that baking cookies or baking X and making sure like you send him off with it. I don't like. Maybe the underlining thing on that is intentionality with your marriage, but really
I mean, in the article, it was like, oh, well, you're showing him care about his safety and well-being, appreciate his provision and protection by sending him to work with some treats for him and the crew. There's so much involved in that. I'm just kind of like, okay.
And
the intention there, I don't think is what,
I don't know if you needed to fill another point with what, with the article or not, but I don't agree with that. Look, the way Lisa shows me, I mean, I don't even look for like, do you appreciate the provisions? I'm, you know.
What's that voice?
I don't know. I feel like that's the voice of the dude. If a dude wrote this article, that's the voice that he has. Right? But I'm just like, no, I'm not looking. I think here's the big thing. And this is because my priority is in my walk with Christ, right? That's my priority. I am not looking to you to validate what I do for a living, to validate how I provide for my family, to validate that you appreciate what I do throughout the day. I'm not looking to you for that. Do you do that? Yes, there's ways that you do that. I can't think of anything specific right now, but you love me.
Yeah.
That's the validation for it, right? I'm not... It's Galatians 1:10 to me, right? It's Galatians 1:10. It's obviously I'm not here to please people, but to please God.
Yeah.
If I was pleasing people, I would not be a servant of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah. Right?
That's that. And because then I can go into other verses where it's like everything you do unto Christ.
Right.
Whether you eat, drink, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's all for the glory of God.
Clearly I want to support you, but I shouldn't be in the fact that like, well, if I've done this for you, then that's supporting you. Like we support each other. Like that's the whole point. Like we support
absolutely
each other.
And I can't do this without your support, but your support isn't validating me. Your support is how you're allowing me to be able to go do things. And the home is good. The kids are good. This is good. You know, like that to me is what the support is, right? Mm-hmm. And we talked about it. We just recently had this big event for our team. And I talked about the event. I'm like, yeah, thanks to all the dudes. But the big, like, thank you is families. Mm-hmm. Because if you're married in this line of work, or specifically where I work, if you're married in this, your family takes a brunt of it. You could be gone for months at a time. And then that's that frequency of leaving, coming in and leaving, coming back and leaving is high throughout the year. And so who's taking care of the home front? Like whether his wife works or not, like who's taking care of the home front?
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
Right. And so like that's, to me, that's the support. It's not so much like, oh, I baked a bunch of cookies for you to take. My validation comes from my walk with Christ, and he's put me in this position, right? Mm-hmm. So just like someone out there that's in another career field, right? Like God has wired you that way. If you're great with numbers and you're an accountant, like God wired you like that. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. And everything you do should be, the byproduct is my boss likes it. But on top of that, that's the byproduct. But mm-hmm. what's really going on is I did this for God because he put me in this position. Mm-hmm. Right?
Or if you're flipping burgers somewhere,
yeah,
you do it because you're not.
I'm doing
it to the best of your ability, yes. Right? Like, and to still glorify God, right? No matter what you're doing, whether it is that you're changing diapers mm-hmm. all day.
Absolutely.
Right? And it's the mundane, everyday yep. task. How you do those things shows who you serve.
Yeah. Absolutely. If I'm, you know, I'm getting put in another position right now and I don't, you know, it's what I'm going to do to help the team. And I'm not really excited about it, but guess what? That position, that area is going to run the smoothest it's ever run. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the best part that it's ever been, because that's my mentality when I go in there. Not because I want to show my TL, like, look what I did. No, it's because this is what should be doing in there. And I'm doing this because God put me here for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like God, like they didn't, you know, I got asked to do that and I don't feel like it was just random ask. Right. And so this is where God put me right now. So I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Right. And I'm going to do it for his glory.
Yeah.
Like not
and
for
it's
that.
Such a great way to have that perspective. And I think it's, you know, the home front, the schedule aspect of
yeah.
the first responder world, you know, and that practicality of what can you do to counteract mm-hmm. those things. It's like you guys are going to have to find connection, right? Because you said like families take the brunt of this, mm-hmm. you know, all that stuff, and you're not doing it for like this support, but the seeking connection with one another is going to have to be super intentional.
You,
like,
yes.
Super, and that, super intentional.
It's almost like a hyper intentionality in that kind of marriage.
Absolutely.
Right. Versus like
unrelenting pursuit, if you will.
Yeah. Versus like a normal marriage, right. Or quote unquote normal marriage. Like it's a hyper intentionality that you need to have.
Yeah. You have,
and
to
that's
have
what goes back. It goes back to, I give him space when he needs it. Like, come on. Right? Go shower. There's your space. Now you're all clean. Like, now do this, right? Like, yeah. How can you, I get back because, like, my kids are grown. They ain't running to the door anymore. But, man, how exciting. Like, I remember Aubrey that was on this episode, on you know, past episode. I remember her waiting for me to come home. And just the
so
most
excited
ever. And then I remember her crying and yelling at me when she couldn't even talk because I was leaving for work, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, how can you tell them, no, I need space right now. No, you don't. You need to be intentional in that realm. You don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next, right? No one knows. So I want to get to, I thought, so do I want to do the ones I don't agree with first? Are you on the article?
Yeah.
Okay. So the other one I didn't really agree with is remind him you need him.
Oh, this is
not funny. His life insurance. What? Like, there's so much wrong with this.
First of all,
because if that's an inkling in your marriage, like, there's a whole nother problem going on. I think she's trying to kill me, you know. It's like, put those cookies back, like, don't take them to work.
How much is your life insurance policy? Is like a regular conversation that you're having.
She's like, I put a wee bit of poison in the cookies. Yeah, no, I just don't get that, because I don't even have words for that. Like, remind him. So what are you going to, hey, baby, good luck at work today. I don't need life insurance. I don't need your life insurance. So please come home. What in the world is that?
Yeah.
Like, seriously? No, that's part of that support, right? Like, I realize that you guys quote unquote need me but not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, I just don't like that. So I don't even need to say much about that one. That one kind of says it itself. The other one that I think that is kind of goofy, but I get it, but I don't get it because the way they explain it. If this makes sense to you, I know I just contradicted myself right now, but it says learn the terminology. So in like, you know, the law enforcement world, or in my world too, like, there's codes that military. You use. The, you know, military, there's a lot of acronyms. I think everything's an acronym. If you don't say an acronym, they're like, what? Right? So everything's an acronym, all these things. And then like trying to learn everyone's name at work. And maybe I interchange it from like a nickname, from a first name to a last name, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Right. So what the article kind of says is to try to learn, or to learn the terminology, so that when your spouse is telling you a story or opening up to you, and you ask, what does that mean? He doesn't get frustrated and he can keep talking. And I'm like, there's so much wrong with what I just said, right? Like, one, if your spouse is like, oh, I don't understand that. Like, what does that mean? That means that she's engaged with you in this story.
Yeah.
She's not just like checking a box and letting you talk.
Because there's many times I've had to have you clarify something that you're saying. And I
absolutely,
even repetitively, because there's so many things. It's true what they're saying, right? Like, you're engrossed in that. So it becomes a part of your lingo, as just like you assume almost like that you know what I'm talking about. But when that's not your world, it's not your terminology. And so it takes a while, right? Like, I might hear that acronym once every 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, you're hearing it on the daily. And so, and there have been times, I think, where you've gotten frustrated a couple of times when I've asked about terminology that I know you've explained to me more than once.
Yeah.
And I just reminded you, like, I just forgot. Like,
yeah. And I have to put myself in check, because I have to sit there and go, she wants to know. You didn't have to ask.
Yeah.
Look, I'll be totally, totally honest.
No.
There's times I am at, like, we're out somewhere, like, not you and I, like, I'm at work, we're out somewhere, we're all talking, and someone's like, we're talking about something, and they're throwing something out, and they throw a thing out. I'm just like, oh, yeah. Like, in my head, I'm like, I have no idea what that just was. And then as soon as they leave, I'm like, what is that? You know, and then the other, oh yeah, that blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay. But instead of me like, oh, what do you mean? Like, I just like let it roll. Like, I've done that so many times on different things, but you could have totally done that and just been like, yeah, whatever, you know, I'll just hear the rest of the story, but you're not. Cause you're like, I want to know what that is. Like, all the details matter to you. Like, that's a big deal. Right. In communication with your marriage, like, that's a big deal that your spouse wants to know the details.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like,
and for both people, you know, it's like that involvement in each other's world. Like, it does matter, you know, when you are hearing about, like, okay, the things that have happened in the home or with your family or any of those things, like, making sure that you acknowledge that those things are a big deal too. Like, they may not be the high stress, intense things that, you know, a first responder might be dealing with, but it's the most important thing.
I think that's a huge tip. Don't marginalize what your spouse is telling you, because of what you've experienced at work.
Yeah.
That is a huge tip. Yeah, you're right. It's probably, quote unquote, not as important as that, you know, I can't even think of something a cop goes through, but it's not as important as, you know, that.
Yeah,
that,
like a major case or something going on.
That or, robbery that happened or that shooting that happened. Or the you fire can't find or the whatever. Person or the fire that you just fought or, you know, all these things like, okay, it, you know, quote unquote, right? But it is important to that household and it is important to your spouse. And so you can't marginalize or talk down to your spouse. You know, like, you know, your spouse,
it. Like your frustrations are irrelevant.
Yes. Yeah. Your spouse comes to you about something and in the back of your head, you're halfway listening. You're like, I just literally like smoked a dude yesterday. And here I am today on my 3 days that I get off. And you're sitting here complaining about the sprinkler system isn't working properly, you know? And it's like, no, that is a big deal.
Yeah.
Right. That is a big deal in your household and your wife is worried about it.
And we've had to kind of go back and forth with that stuff. I think navigating through like kind of what's important in my brain.
Yeah.
Versus no, what's absolutely. Important in your brain.
And it has been a learning process, but I would say that's a huge tip, right? You're dealing with this adrenaline. You need to get that under control, not necessarily under control as far as, you're going to deal with adrenaline. You signed up for this job. Yeah. If you don't like that, there's tons of other jobs out there. Right. You don't have to deal with that, right? But you signed up for this, so you're going to have to deal with it. So since you have to deal with it and you have to know about it, learn all about it. Learn how your body deals with it and figure out how to fix it. Go work out. Listen, I will step on a bunch of toes right now. I look around. There's a lot of cops and I'm like, how are you going to do anything? I'm just being honest. Like, how are you going to do anything? Like, you're the one that's responsible for where I'm at right now. Like, you're not going to do anything.
Wow, Brad, just being savage.
Well, no, but it's true, right? And you want a way to deal with your adrenaline? Get in that gym. Eat properly. I'm not saying you have to do away with all junk food and all that stuff, but eat properly and get in that gym. That helps. That helps you control your emotions and control your adrenaline.
Yeah.
And I'm not a scientist. I just know that this works.
Healthy outlets.
Yes, you do. So figuring that out, communicating with your wife, like understanding that, yes, what you do is important and we are thankful for it, right? I'm thankful for all the cops running around, right? I'm thankful for law enforcement. I'm thankful for firefighters. I'm thankful for military, clearly. Right? Like all this defund the cops and do all this stuff. Like that's the stupidest thing in the world because the only two people that survive in that environment are the wolves and the dudes that sign up for this job. Mm-hmm. Everyone else in between, they suffer. Do not thrive in that environment and they will suffer greatly. So I'm so thankful for our front lines, right? Absolutely. But what's important at work, yes, when you get home, and you just did something like gnarly and ridiculous and it's going to be a great story at work. But then you come home and your wife's like, the lawn is this and that tree is dying and our sprinkler system doesn't work right.
He's like saying things I've specifically said in our
marriage. But they're important. Right. And that's what I'm getting at. It's like, what I did at work was important.
It matters to me that you care about it.
Yes. And we've talked. And so, I mean, I know we're getting into like almost an hour of content right now, but I sent Lisa a podcast years ago on, I feel like it was years ago, maybe just a couple, on the mind, these psychologists have worked with special operations in particular for years. Right. Mm-hmm. And they found these things. And so my buddy sent this podcast to me and I'm listening to it. I'm laughing because I'm like, that's what's wrong with me. Right. So in the sense of like, this is something that I think that people need to understand too is, so for example, there was a pipe. What was it? A pipe out front?
It was like our drip system.
The drip system out front needed to be covered by the rocks. Cause we had a leak. I was gone. Yep. Had a leak.
Which anyone who knows anything about this world, exactly. It's always when they're gone.
My uncle came over, patched the leak up. but he didn't put it back under the rocks, which whatever, right?
Yeah, he was making sure that we're not going to leak.
Like, it wasn't going to leak again. Leave it out. Let's see how it works. Blah, blah, blah. It works great. So I get home and Lisa's, while I'm gone, she's telling me, hey, this is what happened. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. So I get home and it's like, right as you walk through the door, you look to the left of in our yard and there's rocks because we live in El Paso, and there's the pipe, the flexible pipe sticking out and coming out of the rocks and going back in the rocks. And I see it. And she's like, we really need to get that, buried.
And which, by the way, I'm a person who's like, you don't do something after a while, and I'll do it myself.
Yeah, and I don't like that.
And,
so,
and that, and you don't like that. And then also it can create resentment.
Absolutely. So I knew it was important to her, and it was important to me, but it was only important to me when I saw it. Mm-hmm. And because there was other things going on in my mind. And so it was like, of course I'm going to do that. But the only, literally to close the door, the front of the house, I walk in, close the door, and all of a sudden it's gone because it's out of my sight, right? Because there's a bunch of other stuff. It wasn't like it's gone, it's out of my sight, let me go sit on the couch and veg out. It was like a bunch of other stuff going on. And this episode on this particular podcast said that. And I sent it to Lisa and I explained it to her and we both started laughing, but it gave an insight into like my deep brain of like, I care about what you care about. Right. And so that's not what I'm talking about when I say you're marginalizing what your spouse is caring about versus what happened at work. But even with that, after I heard that, I was like, I need to bury that stupid pipe.
You did it that day.
Yeah. And I got home and I literally walk through the door, go get the keys to the shed, get the shovel, and then walk back out before I did anything. And I buried that stupid thing. And
you know
what's
crazy about that, which is this, like, it didn't even take you that long, right?
No, but it didn't take long at all.
That's love to me.
Yeah.
When you see those things and you step into them and or you follow through on the stuff that you know is important to me, or you listen to me, I have an affinity for green lawn and trees. And, you know, this is what I grew up around. And so, like, when I'm talking to you about one of my trees dying or, you know, something, like, you're in it with me.
Yes. And I should be.
And that's love to me.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of these tips that I feel could be solved if you just have that mentality of this is my job. This is what I've signed up to do. This is what I do over there. I'm not saying to compartmentalize fully, but I am kind of saying that. So then you come home, you don't bring the adrenaline rush home.
Yeah, there's pieces of it that you can't take
home. Guess what? That adrenaline rush is going to happen the next shift, right? You can't tell me you can't go a couple of days without, like, your adrenaline rush, right? So it's going to happen the next shift. The unknowns will happen the next time you put on the uniform, right? So then when you get home, you're thinking about your day and all the things you did, and then your wife brings something up. That's important. What you went through is important, but what she's asking is important equally. Yes, the worldly view, clearly someone getting shot is more important than my trees dying in the backyard. But you have to look at this like almost a bubble. It's like I walk through this door, my house, my life, my circle that gets bigger, my community at church, like all these things, that's a whole nother area where, yes, they leak together, but that's a whole nother area that there's important things going on in that area that maybe don't, you know, you're not thinking they're not as important as X, but in those areas, they are important.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's love. That's sacrifice. That's dying to self, which Christ has called us all to do daily. That's loving your wife. That's being intentional. Like, you do those things and everything starts to like come around. First, put your priority in Christ.
Yes.
Get your faith figured out.
Yeah.
And listen, I've been there and there's a lot of dudes there. If you don't have faith in Christ and you, period, I could stop the sentence there, but specifically, if you're in this line of work and I don't understand how you don't have faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. I don't. And I know, well, there's evil, you know, a whole thing, like I think I said the last episode, but you should have faith in Christ if you're doing this job, because the love that you get when you prioritize your life with Christ, the love that he puts in your life, the love that you start fractionally realizing that he gives you on a fraction human level basis that you can't even fathom fully. That love permeates to everything you do. You do your job with love, it changes everything. Mm-hmm. And listen, like, hear me, right? I'm talking about, like, we put a charge on a door, blow it, and go in to go do something. That's done with love. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's a light bulb, an epiphany that's happened in my life. Even when I got in my shooting, like, that was, there was love there. There was no hatred. There was no content. There was on my side. There was no content, no anger, nothing like that. It was just done out of love. There was a love that permeates. Love disciplines. Love loves. Mm-hmm. Loves take care of. Like, there's so many things that love does. Hate is the exact opposite, and hate will ruin you and eat you alive and bring you down to levels you don't want to be in, and destroy your marriage, destroy your relationship with your kids, destroy your relationship with your family, destroy friendships, and all those things. If you prioritize your walk with Christ and you dig into this and you be the man that God has called you to be, and you start, I mean, I'm talking about, this is your life. You dive into that, it changes everything.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, those adrenaline rushes, they still come. Like, that's something God's given you to protect you and make you act like you need to act, and to have this heightened focus where you hear people where they say everything slows around down them, mm-hmm. even though it didn't. That's 100% true. Mm-hmm. 100%. You get in, like, this flow state and you just start moving.
Right.
Like, that is something that God gave you. Those things will still happen, but I'm not bringing that home and starting chaos at home so I can have another adrenaline rush, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not coming home and marginalizing what my wife cares about because of what I left just doing, you know, for the past 2 weeks or for that day. Like, that's what's going to save this law enforcement marriage, right? That's, like, your priority in Christ. And then the intentionality you have with your walk with that, and then your intentionality with your wife and your family, like, that's what saves the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah, and it's more important than the job.
It is. It's so much more important than the job.
Yeah.
Someone else is going to do that job too.
Yeah, like, you've often talked about that, where it's just like this idea of recognizing that you are replaceable.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter how much you think you're so, but in your home, as a father, as a husband,
mm-hmm.
that's not the case.
Mm-mm. No.
You know, I mean, yes, will somebody step into that space if you leave it? Likely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, the reality is that God placed you there, you know, and, like, that is an irreplaceable spot. But your job, yeah, they'll find somebody to fill that spot.
I think I'll leave everyone with this. Not just putting your priority in Christ, but I want you guys to think about this. You took an oath in law enforcement, whatever field you're in, you took an oath. We took an oath to defend the country, domestic, foreign, you know, this long oath. We took an oath to do that, and everyone takes it serious, and that's how they run their job, right? You also took a vow for your marriage. That's the same thing.
Mm.
You took a vow for your marriage. It is very important. Like, you hold this oath that you took in your career to this level above your marriage, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It is, if not equal, your marriage is more. Your marriage is going to be longer than this career.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, but both, you took that oath to sign up for what you did. You also did the same thing. You can't let your marriage go.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fight for it. You have to be intentional about it. You have to care for it. You have to have that love that only God gives. Mm-hmm. You have to have that. I'll leave you with that. Like, that, you should be thinking about that. If you have a hard time of all the things I said earlier and all that, that's what you should be thinking about. Is, well, I took an oath to do this job, so I got to do it. Well, you also took an oath with your wife.
Mm.
You took and when you did that, you signed an oath with your family and those kids and everything. You should be thinking about that too. Yeah. Period.
Well, that's the challenge for the week.
Yep.
All right. We'll see you next week.